I would like to have you stand with me. Would you do that, please? And we're going to repeat the text for the morning. And it is the Lord's Prayer. Shall we say it again? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you as you are seated. The Lord's Prayer gives us an incredible insight into making life user-friendly. You know, the key to making life friendly is to, first of all, make friends of yesterday. Because if yesterday is your enemy, then it clouds this day and your future. And it is important that you make today your friend. No, because if today is an enemy, then everything good that's happened to you in the past has been canceled out, and all you can think about is what is wrong today. And then you must make tomorrow a friend. Because you see, if tomorrow is not a friend and it's an enemy, then no matter what you have done in the past or what you are experiencing the present, you look ahead to the future with dread, and life becomes an enemy. But Jesus gives us, through this prayer, a wonderful user-friendly life by giving us divine passwords. Now, I do not like computers. Somehow or another, they are not my friends, but they are my enemies. I was pastoring in San Jose, California, many, many years ago. You know, San Jose is right on the edge of everything that's happening as far as tech is concerned. And so in my church, I had software engineers, hardware engineers. I had electric geniuses. I had all kinds of tech people. And they were very concerned because their pastor was not staying up to date and did not have a computer. And they kept asking me, when are you going to get a computer? And I said, well, when the price is right. And so on one birthday, here they come with my first computer. And I said, well, the price is right. And they brought it in, and they brought this huge, huge carton of software packages. Remember way back when the software package was so big, they were great big things. And so I had a couple of cartons of these. And they took me through the steps. Oh, they were so excited. And I went through the steps, and then they left me all alone with my little friendly, user-friendly computer. And I was going through the software packages and saw a chess set. And I said, well, I used to enjoy playing chess in high school. And so I booted up and shoved it in and began to play on the elementary level, beginning. And I got all of the way to the end until I was one move from checkmating the thing. And it popped up and said, syntax error, bad command. The coward wouldn't even let me win on the elementary level. And from that day, computers have been my enemy. But that's all right for you to have an enemy out of a computer, but it is not right for your life to be an enemy. And as I said, Jesus has given us the wonderful user-friendly passwords to making life a friend. The first password is the password to make yesterday your friend. And that word is forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses. What? As we forgive those who trespass against us. For you see, Jesus was very concerned that we learn that forgiveness lets us off the hook. It is not there to let others off the hook. Keep this in mind. God has a way of taking care of people that do wrong. He wants you to simply move on and make yesterday a friend, because he's going to take care of your enemies and take care of the people that sinned against you. But it is your key to forgive those who trespass against you. I love the Apostle Peter. Oh, I loved him before he became an apostle. I thought he was one of the greatest characters in the Bible, because he was so unlike a preacher or a diplomat or even a good Christian. He was really something else. And he always had an answer, didn't he? And he was quick to make sure everybody thought he was more spiritual than anyone else. And he came to Jesus one day and he said, "Now, Lord, how many times should I forgive these nasty apostles? Oh, I mean, my brothers." And he knew that the law said three times. But because he was very spiritual, he said, "I've got to be perfect. Seven times, Lord." And the Lord looked at Peter very carefully and he thought to himself, "Boy, this guy, he's going to need to be forgiven a whole lot more than seven times." So he said, "No, Peter, sorry to tell you, but let's start with 70 times seven. In other words, an infinite number. You never get through forgiving, because you're going to need forgiveness yourself so much." And so Jesus comes into this world and he gives to us the key to making yesterday your friends. And please, folks, I want you to consciously forgive the bad debts. Every one of us have many, many IOUs that we will never collect on. Isn't that right? We have people who we look at and say, they owe us. It isn't fair how they treated us. We invested in them. They promised, and we never got anything back. You know what? Life is filled with IOUs, and you're not going to collect on most of them. Sorry to tell you this, but people are not perfect. People are not perfect. Now, if you ever find a perfect church, please don't you join it. It is because you ruin it. And I don't know how many people go through life saying, "Life isn't fair. So-and-so said they would, but they didn't. So-and-so promised, but they didn't." And so the best thing for you to do is to stop cluttering up yesterday with old IOUs you're never going to collect on, because God is the main accountant. You remember that. And if you deserve an IOU to be paid, you may not get it from people that do not treat you right, but God is going to settle the books and he'll take care of those that did not do you right. So let's just clear the ledger this morning and let's forget about all the IOUs and remember that Jesus has paid everything that we need to live a victorious and happy life. And then I want you to forgive not just the bad debts, but I want you to forgive the bad deeds. I tell you, this is very close to my heart, because I pastored for 25 years, and I've heard the many stories about the bad things people have done to others. And in no way do I want to excuse the bad behavior, the bad deeds of people. Some of you had parents that mistreated you. Others had brothers and sisters. Others had husbands and wives. Others had very, very cruel things happen to you. And there is absolutely no excuse for that. But the fact is that many people in this room can look back and say, yesterday is not my friend, because look what they did to me. Look at what happened to me. I tell you what, my life has been filled with pain and suffering because of these deeds. But I am here to tell you, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that God wants you to, in this moment, begin to release the bad things that have happened to you and to begin to forgive those that trespassed against you. I hate to admit this, but it's been over 60 years since I read a story in the Reader's Digest that has stayed with me all of these years. There was a little young, well, there was a young lady going to the New York College, New York University. And she lived right close across from Central Park. And one day, she stayed late after school to go to a class. And after the class, her friend was going to have a birthday. So they went to a little cafe and with other friends, and they stayed and celebrated that birthday. And when she came out, the thought came to her, you know, it's nighttime, and I want to get home quickly, and I can go across Central Park very quickly, just cutting across that edge, and there's not been any trouble, and I think that I will do that. Normally, I would go around the sidewalk where there are lights, but I'm just gonna chance it. I'm gonna go through. She got almost to the first road that went through the park, and evil hands reached out and pulled her down and abused her terribly. And then he left her unconscious. And when she came to, she instinctively began to cry for help and began to crawl towards that road to find help. And to her great relief, the car came along rather slowly and then pulled up to the side and stopped. And when the man came into the lights, it was the same man that had just raped her. And there's something about this crime that is more than sexual. There's a terrible anger. And he beat that poor girl and left her for dead. When she came to, she was in the hospital. And they were very concerned about not only her physical condition, but of course her mental condition as well. So they had the hospital psychologist or psychiatrist, the one that wrote this article in Reader's Digest. And he said, I began to talk to her and to probe her mind. And I began to ask her questions, and she seemed so balanced and so in control of her mental state. Then this is what really fascinated me as a preacher. He said, I decided that I would ask her the ultimate question. And you know what it was? If we work together and we spend time together, do you think there will ever come a time when you can think of forgiving this person that has done it. And he said her answer came from the bed like a whiplash. She said, I have already forgiven him. And then she said these words that will never leave me. He took one night of my life, and that's all he's going to get. And that has impressed me through the years. This is absolutely an illustration of what the Lord is trying to say to us this morning. Look, yesterday need not be your evil because, or not an enemy. It need not be your enemy. It is because there is a way to forgive those who have trespassed against you so that you can be free from the power of the devil and those that have done bad things to you, but you will never, never win by hating them, by trying to collect from them. It is time for you to say it was wrong, and I'm the first one to join you with that and say amen. But I am not going to be a prisoner of what bad people have done to me. I am going to be victorious because of what Jesus has done for me. And I'm going to let him take care of evil people. I'm going to let him settle the score. It is not up to us to do it because we will be nothing but frustrated. It is time for you and for me to go on from here, hallelujah, and break the power of yesterday and be free to rejoice in what he has done instead of what people have done for us. And then I want you to forgive the bad days. We've all had some bad days. But I will tell you very carefully, and I will speak to you very forcibly. There is nothing that has happened to you in your past that cannot be forgiven and set you free to make yesterday user-friendly. Plug in the word forgiveness, and you know what you'll do? You'll go right past the evil, and you'll look at the past and say, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus set me free. I was once abused, but Jesus Christ is my friend. There was a time when people turned against me, but he has never failed me yet. I look at the past, and I think about the world and about people, and I get discouraged, but then I look up and rejoice because my Christ has taken care of everything in the past that is evil, and he has set me free, and I look at the past and rejoice because my redemption draws nigh. The password for today that I want you to plug into your computer is the word opportunity. Give us this day just enough to live with. Don't say, give me this day my daily Mercedes. Or give me this day my daily mansion or my $1 million. You look at what you have and not what you don't have. Look at the blessings that you have in hand and realize that you have an opportunity to make today your friend. For this is the key. This is the day the Lord has made. What will I do? Because he's made my day, I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Boy, you look at anybody else and you have anybody else make your day, they can really mess it up. I think of some of these poor wives that come down in the morning, and there is that person sitting there with a newspaper or just watching TV and sitting there so comfortable and just grunting, you know. And I want you, dear ladies, to look at that man and say, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad because this guy is not about to make my day." But then there are those, some men I kind of feel sorry for when they see this person coming out of the bedroom and not visited a mirror. and oh boy. I won't go into that too far, but it takes a lot of faith to see beyond the mirror, I promise you that. And I want you to say, "This is a day the Lord has made. I will rejoice." Because he looks a little better. And then please don't let others make your day, because they will certainly mess it up. And above all things, don't you let the devil make your day anymore. I think about that and I am stunned by this. How many Christians allow the devil to make their day? He comes and points out everything that is wrong. He brings guilt. He brings all kinds of temptations, and he brings these things that are evil into your mind. And I want you to know that the devil has no say in a believer's life. You are free from the power of the devil. You're free from the speeches of the devil. You're free from the thought life of the devil. We do not serve the devil. We do not obey the devil. We don't pay any attention to the devil, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you are free to praise God this day and take the opportunity to glorify God, because God has given you enough to praise him for the rest of your life. And I stand here today rejoicing that I do not have to pay any attention to the devil anymore. He brings guilt and shame and pain, and he has been a liar from the beginning. Don't you forget that. And he will say to you, "God doesn't love you. People don't love you. This and the other thing they don't love you. But I'm here. If Jesus Christ loves you, you have every opportunity to live in victory today. I've got enough to wear. I've got enough to eat. I've got enough to breathe. I've got to go to a wonderful church to visit and to go to. I have all the health and strength. I got a house. I got a car. I've got America. I've got all of this. And I think it's time for us to begin to look at what God has done for us instead of trusting the devil or believing in him. I serve the excuser of the brethren, not the accuser of the brethren. And I praise him for that." And I could get anointed along that line, but I've got a bad thought. Time is running out. Oh, okay. Now, no. There's another crowd coming that needs this message more than you do. Don't you tell them that now, because they all let me make their day, so don't, okay. The key word, the password for tomorrow, in making the future your day, is vision. Because without a vision, the people perish. He has not come to just say, "I'm done with blessing you. I have got all kinds of great things in store for you. And many, many people look at tomorrow, and they look at tomorrow through the vision of the sinner or the vision of the enemy. But I am here to announce to you that if you are a child of God, you have got a very user-friendly tomorrow. You have a glorious future in what has happened to you yesterday or might happen to you today or what might happen to you tomorrow. The bottom line is this, that you might have to go through this life with all of its problems and with all of its tests, and you will go through it either in victory or you'll go through it in defeat. But I'm here to announce, if you will trust in the Lord with all of your heart, no matter what you have or don't have today, what people have done to you yesterday or might not have done, I got great news for you. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He came out of the grave victorious, and death has no power over anybody in this room. Death has been defeated. Hallelujah. And my future is not the grave. It is a glorious heaven whereby there is no more pain, no more suffering, no more agony. But Jesus Christ has promised that if we will trust him today and look to the future tomorrow in victory, God is going to give you a user-friendly tomorrow that the enemy and no one else can destroy. I get a little bit excited about that. You haven't seen anything yet. And the thing about this church that I love is that this church has leaders that are not just interested in management. They are interested in vision. They look at this church and say, yes, this is a great church today, but boy, we have faith and we have vision to believe you haven't seen anything yet. This church is going to be powerful tomorrow because of our faith today in the victorious head of this church, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, what are the passwords? What is the password for tomorrow? You got it. Forgiveness. What is the password for today? Opportunity. What is the password for tomorrow? And we start with taking care of yesterday once and for all. And I would love everybody in this place to stand with me right now. Would you do it? And I am going to ask you before the Lord to take care of yesterday. And it comes through accepting the forgiveness of Christ. And before I pray, I want to give you the process that you are going to go through. I'm not going to ask you to publicly state this, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit touch you right now. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to put within your mind, yes, I need to forgive yesterday. I need to forgive someone. I need to forgive something. Or hello, I need to forgive myself. And you start with this statement of forgiveness. It's an act. It is a fact that you are going to ask that you be forgiven or that you forgive. And that is an act. It is an act of not only power, but as an act of faith. And then after you have done that, you will enter the process of forgiveness. And that process is this: when later today the enemy brings up that thing from the past, I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, that has been forgiven. and I'm not going to let you bring it up anymore. And when he brings it up, I want you to simply say, don't look at me, take it to Jesus. It's been taken care of. You go through that process. And you know what? It won't be long for the devil give up on you. And he will forget all about it because you will enter a state of forgiveness that will say, now yesterday is a testimony of praise rather than a cause for defeat and discouragement. How many understand that we need to forgive yesterday? We need to take the opportunity to praise him today and to rejoice in who he is and what he has done for us today. And then look toward tomorrow with a vision saying, you haven't seen anything yet. He is coming for a church and he's coming for a people who are victorious through his power. But I want everybody in the room to bow their heads right now, and we'll ask the music to begin. Father, we come right now in Jesus' name, and I pray that everyone in this room, as they look to the past, if there is something there that makes yesterday an enemy, I pray right now that they will accept the forgiveness of Jesus, and they, with an act of the will, they will choose to forgive those that have trespassed against them. Father, forgive us for trying to change the past. But we thank you now in the name of Christ. Yesterday is taken care of, and we're going to look at the past and praise you because we have been forgiven as we have forgiven others. And then I thank you, Lord, that we're not going to gripe about what we don't have today. We're going to praise you for who we are and what we have today in you. And we're not going to spend time looking at the future in fear. Even if death comes with his grip, we know that we have power over the future, whether it be through the grave or through the ransom power of Christ in his glorious rapture. We praise you now that yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever is now our friend because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And everybody said, amen. Amen.